What we were listening to throughout 2018 was our Legends of the Game. They were outstanding. Here's a compilation of three of the best, Wally Lewis, Shane Gould and Andrew Simons. And let's start with how Wally Lewis nearly made his way to the Manly Warringah Sea Eagles back in the 1980s. Speaking of Gene Miles, how close did you come to signing with Manly, the two of you, back in, I think it was 1986?
Oh, we signed. We were signed, sealed, unfortunately not delivered. we went through a bit of a process where, in those days, to even negotiate with a player, if you want to play State of Origin football, you have to sign saying that you promised to stay in Queensland for the next 2 years.
Right.
Those agreements were basically illegal. Ron McAuliffe admitted he thought that they were illegal. He said, but son, he said, it's going to take a long time for this to get into court, to start fighting this out, probably 2 or 3 years, of which you won't be able to play. So the guys used to sign, and you know, they'd all head off to Sydney clubs, unfortunately, but that was the case of us doing it. With the Manly one, though, we hadn't been paid by a club here in Brisbane, Winner Manly, who Gene Miles, myself, Greg Dowling, Colin Scott were playing for. They'd gone broke, and we hadn't been paid for about 3 years.
Wow!
And in those days, I think we were paying about 18.9% bank interest minimum. So it was very disappointing. You know, we felt that you know, a lot of guys, the marriages were breaking up because of the wives were sort of saying, you've got to get out. We couldn't leave the clubs. Cut a long story short, we had to get an offer from Sydney. We were told that there was a Sydney club. And the clubs had to apply for permission to negotiate with the clubs to get that in motion. If they were granted that sort of opportunity, then the communication could start. We weren't told who the club was. We just got told to be at a certain place, which was the old Brisbane Airport. We thought, strange place to do the negotiations here. A bloke came up and said, I'm a pilot. I've got to fly you to Sydney. It's a private jet. Who's flying us down? Don't know. Just been hired to do it. Flew us to Sydney. Gino and I, when we were flying down, had sort of discussed how much we were talking about getting. We thought, well, you know, we've got to ask about the about 70 grand, 80 grand. The top players in Sydney are on about 90. And to cut a long story short, when we were down there, we on the way, we worked out what we were going to ask for. We got picked up and delivered to Kerry Packer's office. And we just went absolutely cold. Mm. We didn't know what to do. The plans that we had in place, we were probably doubting them a bit. and then we walked into Packer's office and he looked at us and he said, so you're the blokes causing us all the trouble. Threw a contract in front of both of us and said, hurry up and sign those. We said, well, we can't, Mr. Packer. You've got to make us an offer. He said, son, let's get one thing straight. You're in my office. You'll do business my way. I don't gotta do anything. And we were swallowing a little bit hard. And he said, well, Mr. Packer, and he said, Doug Daly was the Manly secretary. He was there as well.
Yeah.
He said, Mr. Packer, we can't have these players talking about how much each other's going to be on. It's not fair. And Gene and I both talked. We said, you know, we're going to both ask for 75 grand. You and me, we're best friends. 75 grand. We can't do it. 75,000. We've got to stick to it. Yep, yep. Best mates. You're not getting more than me. No. Same. Yep, yep, yep. That's the way to do it. And Doug Daly said, yeah, yeah, got to be one at a time. So Gino virtually tore a hamstring getting out the door, leaving me in there. And Packer said, son, I've got a few things on today. Okay, so if you don't mind, let's get this over and done with. How much can I ask for? And I said, well, Mr. Packer, you got us. And he said, oh, I know, you don't got to do anything. Well, what about those? You know, sort of, if I say 75, he's going to chop me down. 75, chop me down. I thought, oh, I'll ask for double that. That'll get things moving. He said, well, let's get it underway. How much can I ask for? I said, well, okay, well, if you want me to be there, you're going to have to give me $150,000, Mr. Packer. And he started giggling, and that turned into a vicious roar. Laugh you. He said, you're a Queenslander. You reckon you can get that sort of money here in Sydney? You're a Queenslander. And he just kept laughing, and I felt the embarrassment, ridiculous, about doubling the money. I thought, oh, this is stupid. You know, oh, no. And I've also double-crossed my best friend, who I promised we're only going to ask for 75, my best mate. Oh, no. And he said, and that's what you're asking. And I said, well, if you want me here at Manly, that's how much you're going to give me. And by the way, it's a 3-year deal, not a 2. And he stopped laughing. He said, you're an arrogant so-and-so, aren't you? And I said, yeah, I've already agreed to that. Yep. And he said, and you're greedy too. And I said, yep. But you give me the 3-year deal and you got me. And he said, son, you're easy. Get out and get the next bloke in here. And I sort of went all cold for a minute. I thought, I'm getting that money. This is ridiculous. Wow. And I thought, oh, but what about my mate? I promised him. That's how I'll whisper it to him when I go past. Mm. And Packer said, you wait here, we'll get the other bloke in here first. You're not telling him how much you're getting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So Gino walked in, and I was trying to raise my eyebrows to look at him when I walked out. I walked outside, and I just finished shaking hands with Bob Fulton and Doug Daly, who were there representing the club. It was probably 15 seconds, and I was feeling super guilty about the double-crossing, Gene. And then I heard the buzzer on the secretary's desk. You can come back in there. And I thought, I've given Gino, poor old Gino, what, 10, 15 seconds. I couldn't look at him when I got in there, and Packer said, oh, well, Bob, you got yourself an easy deal here. He said, we've got these blokes in. He said, they both agreed to terms. And I said, oh, no. And he said, Lewis, he's already announced his and signed, and he's on 150. And I said, oh, no, my best friend. He's on. I'm not going to look at him and see what he's going to say here. And he said, and Miles, he's on $135,000. Oh, my best friend, I was worried about double crossing. Double crossing me, and I looked at him straight in the face, and he just had the tongue stuck out the side of the cheek. And it was one of those things that, as Packer said later, fellas, I think both of you have just realised today you never ever trust your mates. No such thing.
Shane, can I ask you about the Munich Olympics and, well, what became an extraordinary event in its own right for the wrong reasons, and that was the terrorism that we saw with the Israeli athletes. As an athlete in that village going through what was happening at the time, what was that like? Because I remember reading and watching the TV at the time, and there was some talk of the Olympics actually being abandoned halfway through it. Then they, after a couple of days, it continued. Can you give us a sense of what it was like as athletes in the village during that period?
Yes. Well, what happened is that there was a lot of terrorism in the 1970s. There was planes being hijacked and people being taken hostage. And so the Palestinians, the PLO, the people from the PLO, came to the men's village in Munich and took 11 Israeli athletes and officials hostage. And I think two were killed in the village, and then the others were taken out. My facts might not be 100%, but the others were taken out away from the village, and then the whole, most of the, all of the Israelis were killed, and in the helicopter they were in blew up. And so there was this act of terrorism in the Olympic Village. Now, it occurred the night after the swimming finished. In the Olympics, because swimming and athletics are the two big popular sports, they put the swimming on in the first week and then the athletics on the second week. So the swimming had finished on the Sunday night, and it was the Monday morning when that terrorism attack occurred, and then it played out all during that Monday, and the mood in the village, of course, when I went to get breakfast, it was just dead, there was just no one around, there was no one walking around, there were guys with machine guns, German soldiers with machine guns, and of course we were, told what happened, and then the Australian team went out of the village for the day to do a swimming demonstration and some diplomacy in a town away from Munich. So the whole thing was played out. Anyhow, when we got back, and then we were standing around a black and white television, and it was all being described in German, so most of us couldn't understand what was going on. And I think even the media didn't know what was going on. They didn't have a perspective. And they were uncertain about whether more attack was going to happen, and so I was taken out of the village because they didn't know if successful people like myself and Mark Spitz happened to be of Jewish origin. He won 7 gold medals for America in the pool. And, 4¾. He won 4 individual and 3 relays. I love statistics. Yeah. So there was tension there, and the International Olympic Committee just didn't know what to do. Mm. But Avery Brundage, the president of the Olympic Committee, and the committee decided, along with talking with international diplomats and presidents and armies, and they decided the Olympic movement had to override that tourism attack and continue on. So we didn't know a lot about what was going on, but I didn't get to celebrate, you know, in the village and watch other events. And I really didn't know the overview of what had happened until I read Time magazine on the way home a week later.
Yeah, right. Wow.
But, of course, two movies, a documentary and a movie's been made of it, and we understand, you know, even more about what happened. Mm. But it was a terrible time, you know. Terrorism is still around, but, you know, but it was very, very raw. And, you know, we had to be frisked at airports. You know, they didn't have electronic, you know, things they do now. And, so it was very much in your face. And, but my swimming had finished, but the athletes had to pick themselves up and re-motivate to do their running and track things.
Andrew, looking back on your career now, and as we've touched on some of the highlights, do you look back on a career fulfilled, or were there things that you still wish you could have achieved with the baggy green?
Yeah, look, I would like to have been a better player. I reckon I should have averaged probably 5 or 8 more in Test cricket. I probably should have averaged 5 more in One Day cricket. Mm-hmm. And my bowling, like I was never a very good bowler, but I did work on my bowling hard for that very reason. I should have been a bit better with the ball as well. But in the end, I suppose the politics, you know, and I did some silly things too. Don't get me wrong with the politics, and I just felt let down when we went through the Harvard Yarn thing, and that weighed very heavily on me.
Yes,
I felt responsible for, you know, dragging my mates into a situation which was not their fault and was just handled poorly, and you know, we didn't get the support we needed. Mm. And then I started to get on the grog, and you know, it was the sort of beginning of the end for me there. And then so I suppose I left the game. I had had enough, but probably had enough for the wrong reasons, because I probably would have liked to have should have played for another couple of years, but my headspace was all wrong, you know, and that was a shame. You know, I'd like to have gone out, I suppose, a bit more on the terms that I would have liked, I suppose, and sort of left my teammates sort of saying, mate, you know, that was really good having you around and enjoyed playing with you. And it was sort of in the end, it wasn't that, I suppose. It was sort of I didn't want the limelight and the attention, and I just had enough of all the politics I suppose all that sort of thing. So I was out. And when I actually came back into the side after I'd been suspended, and the feeling that I had for being in that situation had changed. And that's when I sort of knew, Tim Nielsen was a coach, and he said, how are you going with it? And I said, well, I won't actually know until I get out in the middle and have a game and see what I'm feeling in the actual competitive situation. And when I found that it was in the UAE, I sort of went out there to bat, and we were playing Pakistan. It was a tight game. And, my passion for the battle had changed a bit. It wasn't that I didn't want to be in the battle, but it was just I just didn't want to be in that environment, I think it was. Mm. And so that was a sign for me. And, not long after that, I was finished.
There he goes. Mm. Very thoughtful, Andrew Symons. Incredible insight from Shane Gould about Munich in 1972, and Wally Lewis, who might have told that story once or twice before, recounting how he came to signing with the Manly Ring. Well, did sign with the Manly Ringers Eagles, how close he came to playing with them. Mm.
I tell you what, Jimmy, that Legends segment is my favourite part of the show, and we've got to actually thank all those people who have agreed to come on as legends.
Yes.
One, not only are they very open and honest, yeah, it's remarkable. They just laid bare things that I haven't heard before, particularly with Shane Gould. I never realised that both Shane Gould and Mark Spitz, amongst other the, quote, successful athletes,
yes,
were ushered out in secret out of the Olympic Village. Little things like that, extraordinary insights into their lives and their successes, and indeed some of the tragedies that they've had to experience in their lives as well.
Incredible that the IOC was able to rank some lives higher than others based on performance at a Games.